Hey everyone, it's Amy Lynn Durham and you're listening to Create Magic at Work. Create Magic at Work is on a mission to equip senior leaders with tools they need to be a true servant leader and actually understand what that means. Improve employee engagement, retain top talent, and transform your workplace culture to have less stress and drama. So let's start making magic. Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of Create Magic at Work. Today, I'm really excited because I invited this guest on the show to share her knowledge with all of you. Her name is Sam Smeltzer. She's an HR visionary and healer. And that's one of the reasons why I invited her on was because she so blatantly calls herself an HR intuitive, visionary, and healer right on LinkedIn. So I love it. Her work has been devoted to employee engagement for over a decade. She believes engagement is a critical component of organizational culture that must be alive and well in all employees. However, the place where engagement begins is with and within an organization's HR practitioner. Sam is the founder of the Heart Center, a restorative and growth community for HR, and that's HR Art, the Heart Center. It's really cute. Sam's work has been recognized with multiple awards, two of them being 2020 York SHRM HR Community Partner of the Year and Penn State's 2015 Outstanding Graduate Student in Training and Development. Sam is also a published author of two books and an avid podcaster. Sam, welcome to Create Magic at Work.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yes, we are excited to have the HR Intuitive on the show. So let's start right away with that. I want to hear a little bit more about you, and I want to hear how you decided to call yourself the HR Intuitive and put yourself out there to help heal corporate leaders.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because if we go back and you were to meet me in college or even high school, and even early on in my career, the idea of me saying intuitive or intuition would have never come out of my mouth. Even if I believed that was true, I would never articulate it out loud. And I have been sensitive since I was a child, sensing things, seeing things that people typically associate with the word of being intuitive or being clairvoyant. And I didn't know what was happening to me. And so as any, I would say, normal child reaction, you know, when you don't know what's happening, you try everything you can to shut it down so that you can fit in. And that's what I spent most of my life doing. Where things started to change for me is when I got into HR. So I didn't plan on being in HR. I wanted to be in music. So I actually am 3 credits shy of having a music degree. And for whatever reason, I could not get over test anxiety for my music degree. So I would just bomb my finals because I just would freak out and have panic attacks. I was a vocal major, but I wanted to work behind the scenes. So getting up on stage is a requirement for your degree, and it was terrifying for me. So eventually I gave up. I remember I went to the registrar's office and said, where can most of my credits fit? And because I was a music business major, they basically said, you have a choice, marketing or management. I didn't like the marketing folks of the college I was attending, so I went with management. That was really the only guiding choice that I had. And then when I was in management, I found some really cool business mentors who actually called out the fact that I was really good with the interactions of business and people and exposed me to the world of technical HR. Mm-hmm. And when I got exposed to HR through interns, like internships, I started to realize that this was a really powerful position that could make a huge difference in people's lives. I mean, after school, where do we spend most of our time? It's at work. And when I realized the capacity of that to happen, I fell in love with the idea of HR. But then I also became obsessed with the limited potential an impact that we could have because of these rules that were in place, and they were driving me nuts. And so I spent a lot of time in my graduate work in training and development, trying to figure out how to maximize outcomes, how to make true differences. And then I went back out to the corporate environment, got frustrated by structure, and then left with the intention of starting my own business with basically no rules to basically maximize impact. And at the same time, still not calling myself an intuitive, not even focused on healing, still trying to be very, I would say, corporate successful and relying on those things that most of us are familiar with. And so what happened when I became an entrepreneur, which I'm sure, Amy, you have shared when we've talked about this on my podcast, the greatest enemy is yourself. You have to look at yourself every day in the mirror, and you're the reason you're successful or not successful. And you have to sell yourself on a regular basis. You have to show and prove your value. There's no organization to do that for you anymore. And I had kind of this crisis moment of I didn't know who I was, that I was hiding portions of who I was, and had to go through basically this deep healing. And really the first 5 years of my entrepreneurial journey, it was basically like surviving, taking work that people would hire me to do off my basic skill sets while I was working with all kinds of holistic practitioners to figure out what in the world was going on. And the real eye-opening moment for me was, I remember I was speaking for this local HR organization, and I thought I was going to make a difference. And I started to share this magical element of how we use intuition. I didn't call it that, but I talked about how we use some basic business tools like a SWOT analysis. And if you add intuition to it, it makes it really magical. And I shared it and I got slammed on my reviews, where people told me that I basically shared the equivalent of kindergarten business skills that doesn't make any difference when it comes to strategy or help them in leadership. And it was so disheartening. And something happened in me that basically said, the reason why the feedback was like this is because you're not being 100% authentic. You're giving them a glimpse of it without being 100% truthful of what it is to be an intuitive and what that means to use those things. And since then, my path has gone in a bunch of different directions formally, which I'm sure we're going to touch on. But I really began to say, how does that piece of me make me stronger as a practitioner? And how do I use that as a skill set that we can really develop and fine tune to make huge impact in the workplace?
So we talk about being our authentic selves a lot on Create Magic at Work. And you're just hitting on some of the themes from past episodes that I've discussed with other guests is, you know, can we be our authentic selves in the workplace? And how can companies foster systems and environments that help bring that to life? Because it's not just all of us that have to be our authentic selves at work. There's a lot of posturing and politics and everything. And look what happened to you. You got slammed for discussing how to use your intuition with that SWOT analysis, which is strengths, weaknesses. I've been out of the game for a long time. What's the other one? What's the O? Opportunity?
Opportunities and threats.
Yeah. So it's a business model, to put together. And when you're saying that, it makes so much sense to me because I'm like, of course, you would add the energy into whatever you're doing, you know, intention setting, all of those things. And you're speaking to the systems that we've been placed in that really need to change to me as well. So how did you end up starting the Heart Center and doing Qigong? Am I saying that right? Qigong? I've done it personally, but I always feel like I'm going to butcher the name. So yell at me if I say it wrong.
No. You're good. I've heard it butchered several different ways, but Qigong is correct. Yeah. So, you know, as part of my healing path and journey during the 5 years, I had learned to really just back up and trust, which I used in very literal ways at sometimes using all kinds of universal signs and just following the path. And so one of the things that I did was I didn't say no to things that made me uncomfortable just to go explore them further. So I really was functioning with very poor boundaries, which I'm sure could be a whole episode in itself. But it was very necessary for my growth at that time. And so one of the things that I did is I went to this open house at a New Age store, which I probably would not have gone to with one of my friends. And they had little services, like mini services, so you could try things out. And I had never had a tarot reading. And my friend was like, you should try it. The person that's there is a really, you know, reputable person. And what do you have to lose? And it's $20. So I sat down with her and she basically, within a matter of minutes, laid out cards and recited back to me where I had been in my journey. And the fact that I felt stuck, that I didn't know what else I had to offer and how to kind of frame it and package it, which is a common entrepreneurial thing. We're all trying to figure out what is that thing that we have to offer the world and how do we package it? And she flipped a card over and said, well, what you're looking for is Qigong. And I literally said, what? Like, I butchered the name because I had never heard of it before. And, you know, in that moment, she said, you know, I feel compelled to tell you that there is an ancestor that's here that is so proud that you're ready to pick up the lineage that has been forgotten. And so I said, great. And I got up to leave and she said, wait, where are you going? And I said, well, I'm going to go Google Qigong. Like, that's what we do. We Google. And she says, oh, my dear one, we don't do that. We find the teachers through a network. Give me your card and I will connect you. And she contacted me on Monday and she said, your teacher ends up being in your backyard in Gettysburg. I live in York, Pennsylvania. And he was this 6'5" white guy. So I'm like, this is Chinese medicine. And I'm being drawn to this super skinny, tall white guy. And I didn't really understand what it was. I tried to research. There's so many conflicting things when you read about Qigong. And specifically, it was called medical Qigong. So this clinical aspect to it was really foreign for me. But basically, I signed up for his course. I showed up. I remember it was snowing. It was shoveling snow outside. And he said, so why are you here? And I said, I don't know. I was told to come and I'm just going to go for it. And I walked into that room and it completely changed my life. It gave me context to explain things that I've been experiencing in a way for myself, but also how to now share that with others.
I love it. I love hearing about those transformational moments in people's lives. And what I'm really curious about is now you have, as clients, a lot of leaders that come to you. And when I'm doing SQ experiences for people, it's interesting to me because they disclose things that they wouldn't normally disclose in the workplace. But I mean, I want to hear your take on this because I feel like they're drawn to me because we're actually talking about it now. And they're like, I finally found someone that can do the intuition with the SWAT. You know what I mean? Like just to like tie in, like, oh my gosh, I don't have to like set this part aside and leave it at home. And it's so funny because I'll talk to, you know, a client and they'll say, you know, I don't want to get into any of this stuff, but I do want to learn how to be, make wise and compassionate decisions or whatever a skill is in SQ. And then by session two, they start revealing, well, when I was little, almost like what you were talking about, yeah. I was shut down and these experiences that I was having. And so it's just, I want to hear and I want the audience to hear from you, like, yes, corporate leaders come to you for Qigong, correct? And for energy healing and just affirm that and talk about that a little bit. I know everything's confidential, but if you can kind of give an overview.
Yes. So they do come for Qigong. And it's been an evolution. So before we formally announced ourselves as the Heart Center and talked about Qigong out in the open, I worked with my traditional coaching clients who already were coming to me because we did do a lot of reflective practice and things, which is, you know, the common practice we're seeing that's transitioning to getting to the more radical work that I think, you know, you and I engage in now, Amy. Mm-hmm. And when they would come in, you know, I was starting to learn about Qigong. And so I would say, hey, would you be willing to experiment and try this? And the results were so monumental and observable when they would go back to the workplace. So before that, you know, you'd have coaching clients and they would be marginally better. They'd be happier after their coaching sessions. You know, we'd be making progress and growing, but coaching is very isolated on how much work you want to put into it. And when it's professional coaching, we kind of stay in this layer, that is part of that system and that structure that we were kind of hinting at that we think needs to radically change. Mm-hmm. And basically what was happening is they would come and they would have 10 minutes on the table just to basically humor me. Like I'm helping my coach because she's learning this new thing and she needs something. And so they would get on the table and they would go back and they would have more energy. They would be, have clear perspectives. They wouldn't be as negative in fashion. And so when we're talking about energy work, what's drawn me to it so beautifully is the fact that it tells us how to care for our energy by removing things that do not serve us. So these negative thought patterns and emotions, these things that we acquire in the workplace, Qigong gave a modality to take it out of the body, to take it out of the mind, which sounded so abstract and impossible. Yet then you lay on a table and it happens. And everyone, even if you can't feel energy, says, I feel so much lighter. But the people around them at work said, what happened to you? You're completely different. So we start getting calls to the center saying, I want you to do to me what you did to Susie Q, because she left you and she said nothing happened, but she looks completely different and there's something different. And so that told me that we were on the right path in this aspect. And now, to your point, Amy, I think we're now talking about it more. Whereas before, I used to have to hide it in a traditional coaching package. I have people who show up and I'll say, I think we should focus on your wellness. I think we should focus on the things that you've hidden, because I can tell that you've had to do that. And that's, I think, key components to your growth moving forward. And they'll be okay with that. I'm seeing the corporate contracts being okay with the fact that the goal of our sessions together is to help you be well, to help you find your authentic self. Whereas before, that would never have been a goal. A goal would have been, you know, to have high performance, to manage their time effectively. Part of me thinks, you know, pandemic is a horrible global situation that we're going through. However, one of the gifts is it generated this massive yin reflective movement through quarantine. And so for the first time, we were all forced to look at ourselves and go inward. We couldn't have all the distractions to allow us to not do that. And when we looked inward and we realized that we haven't been working there, people were like, oh crap, now what? What do we do? And now that's why they're calling people like me, like Amy, and all the others who are starting to rise up. So we're seeing this huge movement happening. And I guarantee those who are listening to this podcast, those who listen to my podcast, that's why they're listening. That's why, Amy, you're one of the most popular guests that I've had on my podcast to date over the last 7 years. That speaks to this awakening that's happening, this stirring, this calling that people are feeling.
Hi, everyone. Amy here. Are you looking to create a life with more inner and outer peace, regardless of the situation? Gain unexpected insights into your leadership strengths by taking the SQ21 assessment. Expand your understanding of leadership skills like being a wise and effective change agent, servant leadership, and get tips to operate from a place of peace and wisdom from within. The SQ21 assessment, a faith-neutral instrument, allows you to examine where you are today on developing and sustaining the 21 skills of spiritual intelligence. I'm a certified SQ21 coach, and I offer a one-time, one-on-one experience with the SQ21 assessment that helps you have less stress, more balance, and bring more value and meaning to your work and your life. Go to createmagicatwork.net and click Work with Me to get started on your transformational journey. I'd love to hear from you. You can connect with me on LinkedIn under Amy Lynn Durham and send me a direct message, and we can get you started that way as well. Sending magic to everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I love it. Can we dial it back a little bit for maybe my listeners that don't know what Qigong is? Is it similar to Reiki? Can you explain just a little bit? Because you say lay on the table and then they get up. So what's going on there?
Yeah, so that's a great point. So there is two aspects of Qigong. So the one that a lot of people are familiar with is very similar to Tai Chi, so those slow movement exercises. Okay. And a lot of people have practiced that. Predominantly, the difference is when you transition to Qigong, it engages a deep reflective process. So the movements get even slower than Tai Chi, and it's going inward. Now, medical Qigong is when we integrate having a practitioner assist you with what you're trying to achieve through those exercises. So everything that I do as a medical Qigong therapist, ultimately an individual could do on their own through exercises and a personal practice. And so what we do essentially in Qigong across the board is learn how to purge our energy, so cleanse it. We learn how to tonify it, so basically give ourselves new energy. And then we also learn how to regulate it so we stay balanced. So when you have like high emotional reactions, when you even have random like ghost pains in the body, those are signs of energetic imbalances. So energy got stuck somewhere in the body system and it needs to be cycled through so it can find its proper home. Same thing like when you're tired at the end of the night, if you ever feel like your lower back pain, you don't have lower back pain all the time, but only at night. light. That's where your main energy source is. So when you tonify, we can actually fill up that energy source, stop that back pain. So you're experiencing symptoms that are basically signs of energy depletion. So yeah, so treatments, basically you lay down and I do the exercises for you. It is similar to Reiki, just more focused on energy meridians and the pathways, which is what's used in acupuncture. So it's the same system that they use for needling. However, we're using just our hands over the body like Reiki. So it's kind of that blend.
Thank you. Thanks for explaining that.
Yeah.
A couple of thoughts that came up, why you were so successful doing this and why companies were calling you saying, hey, how do we get more of our people behaving this way after they leave your session? Or yes, we're cool doing a corporate contract for this because we actually see the results. One of my thoughts, and I want to thank you, you have ended up becoming a teacher for me because you just reminded me again, I learned from one of my mentors in coaching, in therapy, in trauma work, whatever it is. And coaching is completely different from therapy, right? However, we have clients that speak and they share when we are asking them questions and coaching them. And you have the perfect recipe and the perfect blend because something needs to happen after they've dumped all of this verbal energy. You can't just leave it hanging in the space. You have to do something like a meditation at the end or the Qigong like you're talking about. And that is really what ties everything up nice and neat with the energy and with the person. And I just want to put that out there because it's crucial. It's critical. And it was a great reminder for me today. You know, we can't do coaching sessions without, and maybe they do run long. So it's like, hey, you got to meditate today or you whatever works for you to clear that. Go boxing, you know, whatever that is. You have to find something after talking through something to clear the energy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the things that is really simple that came up is keeps coming up time and time again, and we're all feeling called to it, is the return to nature. Like going outside, being around trees is one of the most basic meditative clearing practices. You know, I've taken clients who are afraid of all of this stuff that we're talking about, like really don't want to go near anything that's woo-woo. And I meet them and we go for a silent hike where we just be in the presence of trees and it will be one of the most powerful experiences for them. So yes, it's just, it's crazy how the answers were there the entire time. And we just categorized it as not relevant because of the system we had created for professional conduct, essentially, for the corporate environment.
Exactly. I was just speaking with someone the other day, and they were sharing with me, because you're talking about almost, to me, breadth of time perception with SQ, right? Like understanding your life is extremely important, yet a tiny piece of the history of the universe, and operating from that space. And yeah, you don't have to, like you said, go out into nature, go on a hike. This person that I was talking to shared how astronauts, when they leave, there's scientific data that when astronauts leave the planet and they look down at planet Earth, they have this transformational experience, these moments of whoa, and then they come back and their brain is literally changed and they are doing more charitable work. And they want to leave a legacy just from having these experiences, I guess you would say, with the astronaut of nature too, right? And so, yeah, you don't have to, whatever works for you, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Go take a hike, you know, go boxing. But those moments of experiencing the planet, I think are really, really important, especially today, you know, standing at the edge of the ocean and just staring at it. Those things actually, the data is coming back are showing that it changes the way your brain's working for the better. So thanks for bringing that up. Okay. I ask every guest what servant leadership means to them or what your definition of servant leadership is. So I'd love for you to share that with everyone.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because when I started my business, I had this individual contacted me who instantly wanted to be a business partner. And he came in and was telling me all the ways that I demonstrated servant leadership in his eyes and categorized me as a servant leader. And up to that point, I never really had, because the people that I had come in contact with servant leadership strictly forced it down a religious pathway. So it was constantly linking it to the Bible. Now, since then, you know, and I look back, when I think about servant leadership, you know, for me, I think of it as putting others before yourself, you know, so it's almost like keeping your ego in a healthy balance. And I think this speaks to, you know, one of the books I'm obsessed with right now is The Infinite Game by Simon Sinek. If you haven't read it, I highly recommend that you read it, because it's just opening our mindset to what the working world started as and how it has morphed as ego, whether you want to label that as Wall Street or some of these other structural systems. But this drive for money and power has shifted our perspective and almost destroys the core values that some of these organizations were built on, like a Walmart. Like, I think of a Sam Walton who started Walmart and what Walmart was then versus now. So when I think of a servant leader, I think of someone who's thinking about being connected to something bigger and building something that's beyond themselves. It's somebody who has a vision of creating a legacy for those that are coming after them, rather than what is going to be for them during this lifetime. It's looking with this infinite mindset, which is why I hinted at Simon Sinek's book. But to me, for servant leadership, it's looking at the greater good rather than just what I need, and trusting that doing what is right and good will provide all that you need to continue that work.
Thank you. Awesome. Okay. Before we end this episode with every guest again, I do a card pull from my journal prompt card deck. And this is a message for, the card has an affirmation and two questions on it. And it's for your work or for your career. And this is for the listeners, no matter when you're listening to the episode, and also for us today, a message from the universe. And Sam, you can answer one of the questions or both of them. And I'm going to pull a card for us right now. We got magic. The two magic ladies
very
got magic.
Appropriate.
Out of a deck of 33. Yeah. So the affirmation is, the words I speak create my world. And Sam, your question is, what words can I speak to create harmony in my life?
What words can I speak to create harmony in my life? Honestly, it would probably be, you know, I'm here in this moment. I think one of the best things we can do is be fully present. You know, when we're obsessed about the past or the future, we're unable, we miss so much that's happening in this moment, in this conversation. You know, just as listening to this podcast, if you zoned out and you went to a place where you missed, you know, was that because you were growing and learning and reflecting, or was it because you got uncomfortable and so you shut down because you didn't want to hear what potentially was meant for you to hear in this conversation? And so I think the best thing is, you know, I'm here in this moment, or I'm here now, or I am present, or I'm present fully, whatever line resonates with you, but bringing yourself and grounding yourself in your body and being in this space with no judgment. I mean, that doesn't mean life is perfect, but to be harmony with ourselves, we got to be in our body. We got to be part of the heavens from a Chinese medicine perspective, which is just the sky, not from a religious perspective, and the earth. You know, we're that great being that's a connection between the two.
I love that. The other question, if you're comfortable sharing, and this is for everyone to think about listening, you know, what are your clear goals for the next 4 weeks? So Sam, you already answered, you know, what words can you speak to create harmony in your life? So everyone needs to think about that. And you talked about being present. So now, what are some clear goals for the next 4 weeks? If you want to speak that, the words I speak create my world.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you my goals. I mean, I have no idea when this is going to get aired, but we're entering the holiday season, which historically I've fallen off the wagon and gotten lost in the chaos. And so talking about this idea of being present, you know, my goal for the next 4 weeks is to be present with those that I love the most. And to cherish that. And that has been, you know, already percolating in regards to how much I decorate and how much I gift and how much I purchase and how I spend my time and how much I work. But for the next 4 weeks, I really want my focus to be on being fully present with those that I love and cherish the most.
Amazing. Yay. Thank you so much, Sam, for sharing your wisdom with all of the magic listeners. If someone wants to get a hold of you and learn more, how can they connect with you?
Thank you, Amy. This has been really awesome. I consider it a true blessing. I have to be honest, when I saw that you were launching a podcast, I thought it's about time. She needs to share this. People need to hear from her on a regular basis. So the fact that you've included me in this lineup is truly an honor. And if you want to reach out and get a hold of me, the easiest way to do that is to go to our website, which is heartcenter.com, HRARTcenter.com. So it's HRArtcenter.com. And I know that, you know, we're talking about treatments. We have all kinds of stuff that we're doing virtually now. That's the other beautiful gift of the pandemic, is us thinking about how to do work differently. So don't let physical location hold you back. And as always, don't hesitate to reach out. I love to have dialogue with like-minded individuals and how we can be of service.
Perfect. Yeah. Especially like if anyone has an executive coach or a therapist and they need to add that missing piece, which is the energy work to clear what's come up for you. And the fact that you're helping leaders in the workplace with this is amazing. So thank you for your contribution to servant leadership, which is the true ripple effect to me on humanity and the legacy we leave. So thanks for being on the show, Sam.
Thank you.
Hey everyone, it's Amy here. Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Create Magic at Work. And please come back often and subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. Keep joining us for more exciting episodes where we help you transform workplace culture to systems that create less trauma and stress and have high productivity and profitability. You can get your own tools for the workplace at createmagicatwork.net. I have a new Create Magic at Work, the journal, that just released, and it invites you to reflect about different themes for work and your career. Each section of the journal contains a topic, an affirmation, and two prompt questions to help you journal your thoughts. Topics are like inspiring others, mentorship, expansion, and productivity. So connect with me at createmagicatwork.net. Also connect with me on LinkedIn under Amy Lynn Durham. Sending magic to everyone, and see you next time.